made a way for me. Amen? I want to first of all honor to God, who is indeed the head of my life. Reverend Red, Reverend Nero, to all of the pastors and preachers and evangelists and all, each of you who are here. Thank God for Reverend Dr. Barbara. Night to our song.
Amen.
Give her a big hand. Yeah, I didn't want to mess that up. So. Amen. I thank God for her. I got a chance to eavesdrop just a little bit on what she was teaching, and I thank God that he put us in the same area.
Amen.
God works like that. Amen.
Amen.
I'm so grateful to be here again and to see my good friend, Brother Mike Odie.
Amen.
Amen. And my big sister, Sister Carla. Amen.
Amen.
See, y'all didn't know that. She's always going to be my big sister. Amen. I'm so grateful to have my wife to be here. Honey, would you stand or raise your hand?
Amen.
Come on, y'all give her a hand. Amen. Amen. I have my two sons. I want my boys to stand.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. So y'all see the one in the back, so you better think twice before you mess with me. And I am grateful tonight to have my granddaughter, to have my daughter, and to have my two granddaughters and my daughter. Amen.
Amen.
And I have my sister here with me. Give them a big hand. And last but not least, well, let me throw this in parenthetically. I have two of the members of my church to be here. Let's raise your hand. Amen. Amen. They don't know how much they blessed me by them coming, because, you know, folks don't have to follow you nowhere. Amen? And for them to be here, and the Lord has really been, you talk about transformation, God has really been doing some transforming at our church. Amen. Our Bible study is getting gooder and gooder. Amen. And we just thank God. Our service was all off the chain this past Sunday. He's bringing some things to light, and he's bringing us close. And everything God is doing is being based on the Word of God. Amen. But last but not least, the love of my life. Reason I'm here tonight, outside of God, is my mama.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I'm not ashamed to let you know I'm a mama's boy. Amen. If y'all ever want to see a black bald head preacher acting monkey, mess with my mama. Amen. Amen. 92 years old. Amen. And I'm so grateful for her.
Amen.
I see the time. I have a lot of area to cover in a short period of time. So I'm going to need everybody to pay deep attention, because I'm going to be rolling. Amen?
Amen.
I'm not going to hold you in a long, long time, because we have to get back on the highway. But I do have some very important things to share with you. I thank God that, you know, John was a forerunner. I thank God for Reverend Dr. Barbara as a forerunner to go before and to lay the foundation of transformation. And so all I have to do, I don't have to lay a foundation. All I need to do is come in and build on top of it. Is that all right? But I want to know that I'm in the right place, because not everybody in church you can help. I'm going to say it again. I say everybody in church you can't help. The only people you're going to help in church are the people that are thirsty and the people that are hungry. Because I'm not going to come out there and open your mouth for you. My mama used to always tell us a closed mouth don't get fed. Well, I ain't got no help in this house. You got to open up your own mouth. You got to have an appetite, and you got to be hungry for the word of God. But I've got some powerful stuff to share with you tonight. So I'm asking that you come go with me to a scripture that that the minister already read is Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, what I'm going to do tonight, I'm going to give you my subject tonight, but that subject is going to carry on for the next two nights.
Yes, sir.
I'm giving you one subject. And the subject, what I want to talk about tonight, I want to talk about the process of transformation. Come on. Let me hear the church say the process.
The process.
It ain't loud enough. Come on. The process.
The process.
Of transformation. Now look at your neighbor if you're not afraid. Look at them dead in the eye. I know it's going to be rough, but look at them anyway. Don't pass out, but look at them and say to them, neighbor,
did you know
that there is
a process
of transformation? Amen. Give God another hand for it. I want to tell you on the front end, my brothers and sisters, that in Romans chapter 12, it is called the road to renewal.
Yes.
The road to renewal. See, if we're having a revival means that we need to revive something that has died. If it was already lit up, something called the light to go out, and we are here tonight to turn the lights back on. Oh, I ain't got no help in here. The quieter you are, the longer I take. I want you to know, my brothers and sisters, that if we're having a revival, that means that somewhere along the way, you have been touched by something before. But somewhere along the way, something happened to you. And something caused your power to go out. Somebody or something caused you to falter along the way. And every now and then, we all need an extra touch. Oh, y'all ain't helping. I'm going to preach to myself. Every now and then, we all need some revival. That's what's wrong with some marriages. That's why some marriages go down the drain. Because it ain't no revival. That's what happens to some churches. They get stagnated and they go down the drain because there's no revival. I want you to know, my brothers and sisters, that when we talk about this thing called transformation, spiritual transformation is a process by which Christ is formed in us for the glory of God, for the abundance of our own lives, and for the sake of others. Guess what? You are not saved for yourself. Oh, I ain't got no help in here. God did not save you for yourself. But he saved you. He shaped and molded you in his own image. But it wasn't for you. It was for somebody else. That's why it's so important for us not to play church. It's so important for us not to just be at the church. It's so important for us to live and have a relationship with Christ to the point to where he is considered as the Lord of your life. Can I get a witness? We got a lot of folks in church. They say sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost and fire. But they walk right by you and won't speak. Oh, I ain't got to have a help in here tonight. Some folks in the choir, Brother Odie, they want to lead all the song. And they get mad when they can't lead the song. You can't lead all the songs. Let somebody else sing sometime. We got jealousy. We got enviness in the church. And my brothers and sisters, I lifted from your theme the part where it talked about the Holy Ghost being the transformation of the church for the millennial age. I want you all to know that when I came here tonight, I came here with a purpose. I came here because I've been with Jesus. I've been spending time with God. And this message that I'm bringing to you tonight is not, I didn't get it out of a Cracker Jack box. This message is not a popcorn message. This message is to try to inform us, because I want you to know there's some powerful stuff that we're going to need to know. I heard briefly Dr. Barbara said that there needs to be a transformation. How many of you know that there needs to be a transformation? Some of you don't even know that. You didn't raise your hand. I'm talking to everybody in here. That's why we can't get along right now, because y'all think I'm talking to them, and I'm talking to everybody. I'm going to ask you again. I know you just didn't hear me. I know you may have been daydreaming or night dreaming, but I'm asking everybody in here, how many of y'all know that there needs to be a transformation? Well, how many of y'all need more faith? Raise your hand. How many need more faith? I told you last year.
That's right. You gotta know.
Some of y'all forgot.
That's right. You don't need no more.
I guess I'm gonna have to tell you again this
year.
Tell
them again. Tell them again, because they forgot.
That's not the truth.
That's right.
You don't need no more faith.
Tell them again.
I said it last year. I'm gonna say it again. You stop. Y'all look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me.
I'm saying that.
Look at me. You stop letting the devil tell you that you need more faith. That's one of the ways he plants seeds.
That's right.
That's one of the ways the devil plants seeds in your life. And he begins to gradually bring you down and to stop you in your tracks, because you feel like you don't have enough faith. Look, just because you go through stuff, just because you're not all of what you need to be, there's not a person in this church. I don't care what your title is. I don't care how long you've been in the church. I don't care what your anointing level is. There's not a person in this church tonight that don't have some type of issue that you got to work through.
Amen.
Somebody talk to me tonight. There's some kind of issue that you got.
That's right.
But don't you let the devil tell you that you need more faith.
That's
I'm going to
right.
tell you why. Because if you need more faith, that means that Jesus is alive. That means that God is alive. I want you to know that the Bible said that God has given to each one of us a measure. Come on, help me somebody.
A measure of faith.
He's given to each one of us a measure of faith. Now, I'm not like you. You're not like me. All of us are on different spiritual levels. But you know what God does? He carves out a certain measure for Steve Lake. He carves out a certain measure for Reverend Nero. He carves out a certain measure for Dr. Barbara. He carves out a certain measure. You may not be the kind of person that stands before people. You may be a little shy. You may be a little withdrawn. But that doesn't mean you don't have enough faith. God gave every one of us a certain measure of faith. And guess what? Here's the deal.
Amen.
I promised my wife I wasn't going to be long tonight. Here's the deal. Let the church say why.
Why?
Why would God give you more faith?
Come on now.
If you're not using to the full measure of the full potential of the faith that God gave you. To say, God, I need more faith, and he thought about how much faith you can handle. They're not listening to me, dog. I'm going to preach to you in this corner. They're not listening to me. I ain't got no happiness out. I thought we came from revival. Y'all too quiet. Y'all too subdued. Why would God give you more faith if you're not using to the full measure? Because when God thought about you and he knew your problem, he knew your issue, he knew what was going to hinder you, he knew that you couldn't take very much, he knew that your mind would jump time. Come on, somebody. He knew. So And in that measure, there's a space.
All right, huh?
There's a space of faith that you ain't never even touched.
That's right.
Because you can't use the full measure of God's faith and use it up. Why won't they? I'm gonna preach to this thing up here. You can't use the full measure of God's faith and use it up, and then go back to God and say, "Now, God, look here. Now, I didn't use up all the faith I got. Can you please let me have a little more?" Dr. Barber, they don't want to help me tonight. Some of them sitting out there asleep. Come on. Get off of Instagram. Come on, somebody. Get off of Facebook. Come on. He gave you a measure of faith. Now, I got some more stuff I'm going to tell you, but I want to tell you this. Stop talking about transformation until you understand the power of the faith God gave you. You can't transform something that wants to stay stuck. Who do you think it is that gave you the faith? It ain't no Joe Blow. Come on. I'm talking about Almighty God. I'm talking about Elohim. I'm talking about the God of the universe. I'm talking about the one that is sovereign. What he is. Now, I feel my help coming, y'all. I'm talking about the great I am that I am. I'm talking about the one that's not worried about no earthquake. I'm talking about the one that's not worried about no Donald Trump. I'm talking about the one that's not concerned about the moral report. I'm talking about God. He gave you faith. You stop whimpering down and you stop letting the devil tell you that your faith is not good enough. Your faith is not strong enough. And you got to keep asking God for more and more faith. And you're not using the full measure of what he gave you. There's some wasted faith somewhere. Can I get a witness? And so my brothers and sisters, as I move on to a close, as I go a little further, I want you to know, and I need to drop this on you right quick. I'm going to have to skip some stuff so I won't run over nothing. But I'm going to skip some stuff. Can I do that? I'm going to skip some stuff and get to some stuff. The reason why the Bible says present your bodies a living sacrifice. When you go back, it says, therefore, brethren. And within the therefore, there's the problem. The problem, in many cases, is in the therefore. The problem is in the therefore. And I'm going to tell you why the problem is in the therefore, because many folks don't even know what they are there for. Some folks come to church, but they don't know what they are there for. They think that they are there to look at what Susie is wearing. And girl, did you see what she had on? I'm going to preach to myself here. They don't know what they're there for. You're not there to worry about who got on what. Now, there you are, got all them dresses in your closet, and you're so selfish, you want to talk about Susie, and you know Susie ain't got no good job. Come on, somebody. You know Susie got 12 kids. Come on, somebody. And you're worried about what Susie got on. At least she come to church. You got all them dresses, and you don't want to let go of nothing, but you want to talk about somebody. First of all, you got to know what you're there for. You're not there to look at you. Look at me. Look back at you. What? Staring at me. I'm staring back at you. I know why I'm here. I'm here to get connected a little bit more with Christ. Because my brothers and sisters, I want you to know, people are leaving this world.
Yes, they are.
They're dying. Good friend of mine died Sunday morning, getting ready to go to church, Mr. Will Ackland. Owns at my funeral home. Died Sunday morning. On the way here, I just heard that St. D. Witt Hill from Pine Bluff died today. People are dying, leaving this world. My family is still coping. I just lost my brother about a month ago. We're still trying to recover. But my brothers and sisters, I come by here to tell you, I've been hearing, I've been watching a lot about transformation. But I want you to know that the Bible says, I beseech you, therefore, you got to know what you're there for. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present. There's some power in the presentation. You can't just present anything. Oh, I feel my help. You can't just present anything to God. Some people, they just want to throw up anything at God. Don't you know? God is not going to accept anything that you throw up. You shout on Sunday and run down the aisle. You jump and holler talking about, I know I'm a child of God, but you got a bad, nasty attitude. Bad, nasty attitude. You. It's not their fault that you think more of yourself. You got to humble yourself. And especially those of us who are in ranking positions, those of us who stand in a certain position, guess what? We are not perfect, but the Bible says be perfect as I am perfect. And the word perfect don't mean to be sinless, but if you strive to be what God wants you to be, you will sin less. And there's certain things that I have to turn down. There's certain places that I can't go. There's certain stuff. See, I had to learn. I had to go through some stuff. I had to almost face death myself before I came to the knowledge of some stuff. There's some things that if I know there's some stuff down this road that's going to give me some temptation, guess what? I'm going to put my signal light on and I'm going to turn to the right. I'm going to go the other direction. There's some things that you got to flee from. There's some things you got to turn from. And I got to shock you, but I got to tell you that some folks you got to turn away from. Sometimes it's some of your family members. Sometimes it's the folks right in your house. And sometimes it's the one that you see in the mirror.
What fifth girl is getting this?
Sometimes you got to turn from your own self. You got chaos and calamity going on in your house and ain't nobody in there but you. I ain't scared, come on. I want to get you to understand there's some statistics. I got to do this statistically. My brothers and sisters, we talk about the new millennial. There's a movement going on. I don't know if you all have heard about it. I just recently found out about it. I just recently found out about this movement that's going on. Now, the largest church in the world, anybody know what the largest church in the world is?
Lakewood Christian.
It's the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church is the largest church in the world. Well, I want to tell you that I just recently discovered that there is a community, there's a group of people that have come together to form a community, and they are called the religious nuns. Now, the religious nuns, it's not nuns like the Catholic nun. It's nun like I don't have nun.
Right.
In other words, I don't have no religion. In other words, I don't want to have nothing to do with religion. And they have come together. It's made up of the atheists. It's made up of the agnostics. It's made up of the spiritual. It's made up of the spiritual. And it's made up, my brothers and sisters, and it's being fueled by millennials. And guess how they're doing it? I don't know if you all remember back here not too long ago, there was a shooting, and some of the young kids in school, they protested, and all over the world, in China, in Japan, in the United States, and all over the world, in Europe, all over, they got together and everybody decided that they was going to walk out of school a certain day at the same time, and all over the world, all these people, all these kids, all these millennials, they all walked out of school, and they all got together and did it over the internet. They organized a mass movement over the internet. And they went to Capitol Hill and they protested. There was one young man that was confronted by an old Indian man. And it was all in the news. Y'all seen it. It was all in the news. But guess what? Some of those young people, it was about gun violence. And then some of them went on Capitol Hill. Some of them was confronting their lawmakers and all of that. But the thing I'm trying to get you to understand is they not only are political, but they are many of them are non-spiritual. And you talk about the church and the Holy Ghost being the transformation of the millennial age. Guess what? We better get busy. We better get busy because this movement have already outnumbered the Catholic Church. Oh, I'm not just shooting. I'm not just singing Dixie songs. I got some statistics. Can I get a witness here? It started in 1990. And then it has grown 266% since 1991. And my brothers and sisters, I'm going to get to it in a minute, but you got to understand what you're dealing with. We got to understand how the church is being in the dark ages. We've been sitting up here fighting against denominations. We've been sitting up here fighting against one another. We've been sitting up here arguing and fighting about who ought to be in the pulpit. We've been sitting up here fighting and arguing and bickering against one another. And while we're asleep and caught up in our own mess, the devil is And my brothers and sisters, because they have access to the internet, I want you to know, my brothers and sisters, that they are growing. They're growing by leaps and bounds. The Catholic Church represents 23.0%. And I want you to know that the spiritual, now, when I say spiritual, understand this, they still have nothing to do with religion. The spiritual, you know what they say? They say, well, I don't necessarily believe in God, but I believe in nature. I believe in the trees. I believe in the water. Oh, I'm going somewhere now. Y'all come on, help me. I ain't got about 10, 15 more minutes. I believe in the air. Lord, fresh air. I believe in the air. I believe in the water. Yeah. I believe in all of these things. But you mean to tell me that you believe in the product, but you don't believe in the manufacturer? Oh, I know I said something there. You mean you believe in the product, but you don't mean the manufacturer. Who do you think made the air? Who do you think made the truth? Who do you think made the water? But because the devil has come in and caused, y'all watch me. The devil has caused a transformation. So when you talk about transformation, you got to get some clarification, ain't it? You better put some clarification on your transformation, because the devil is causing some transformations too. And if you just leave it out there that there's a transformation, I want you to know, my brothers and sisters, it kind of causes people to be thrown off track, because there's a lot of transforming going on.
Yes, sir.
And so here is the spirit. spiritual. They believe in nature. They believe in all this, but they don't believe in God. And at the end of the list of all of the percentages is the evangelicals. They're at the end. The Catholics are 23.0%. But the religious nuns now are 23.1%. They have superseded and passed the Catholic Church. And that's the reason why, my brothers and sisters, it's going to be hard for us if we don't get serious about this thing. It's going to be hard for us to turn the minds of a lot of young people. That's why young people don't feel like the church is needed. They don't feel like the church is necessary. You got to look, first of all, let them see a change in you. You got to let them see a change in you. Can I get a witness? And so, my brothers and sisters, as I move on to a close for tonight, I want you to know, my brothers and sisters, that not only is the devil causing some transformations. Now, I need to offer a disclaimer. Can I do that? I got to say something. Now let me just give a disclaimer. I didn't come here to melt with you. I don't know you. I didn't come here to pick on you. I didn't come here to meddle on you. Look, watch this. I'm going to tell you straight up. I didn't come here to get in your business. Is that all right? I don't know what you got at home. I don't know what your flavor is. I don't know what you like. I don't know what you don't like. So I'm giving a disclaimer. If you leave your man, you're going to be leaving mad on your own, because I already gave my disclaimer. Amen.
Amen.
I ain't coming up in here to pick on you. I don't know what you got going on. Come on. You may be singing this song. It's my thing. I can do whatever. I don't care. I don't know what you. Come on. I don't know what you got going on, but I got to say something for the purpose of this message.
Yes, sir.
You see, there's some transformations going on. The Bible said that there's going to come a time when there'll be a great falling. Boy, I wish I had a church. There's going to be a great falling away from the church. People will rather hear a lie than to hear the truth. And if you stand up and tell the truth, people are get upset. They get insulted. But a man that don't tell you the truth don't care nothing about you. Ladies, I'm going to tell you something. You better listen real close when you hear these little brothers trying to talk to you. Young ladies, when you see these brothers and they trying to get all up on you, they trying to hustle and bustle. They trying to lay down their mat on you. Come on, somebody. I feel my help coming. Layla, I hope you listen. I hope all these young ladies are listening. Don't always believe everything they say, because you got to listen real close, because they come up and tell you how fine you are. Woo, girl. They tell you, I love you. And you think they said love. They didn't say love, they said, I love you. When they get you loving on you, they gonna go love on somebody else. You better listen close. See, nowadays the transformation is, the reason why some good young ladies can't find no good young man is because, now don't say it ain't nothing out there, because there's some out there. But the problem is, you're looking too hard. Y'all didn't hear what I said. I said, you are looking too hard.
That's right, because it said,
he's the problem. For you.
Thank you. Yes. Amen.
It said a man.
He that findeth. Come on.
Oh, oh, oh.
Yes.
A man. Yes. A man that finds her.
Amen.
Finds her.
A good thing.
Can I get a witness?
Amen.
The price. It's far above. Oh, I feel my help. the rubies. Can I get a witness? But what I got to say that I had to offer a disclaimer is because, first of all, I'm talking about this transformation, and y'all listen to me real good.
Yes, sir.
See, there's a group of people. There's a group of people who say, "Well, you know, I've got a different persuasion. There's a different persuasion. There's something going on the inside of me, and I know I'm a man, but I don't feel like I'm a man. There's some stuff going on the inside. I'm gonna do a Jane Brown. I'm gonna hit this and quit. Come on. Can I hit it and quit? There's some stuff going on the inside of me. And you know what they do? They lie on God. And I'm sorry. They lie on God. And they say, well, you know, I always knew. From a child, I always knew. And the young ladies, some of them, they're worse than the men.
Oh, yeah.
And they say, I always knew. Well, here is the deal.
Come on.
Ever since the Lord kicked the devil out of heaven, and he took one third of the angels with him, ever since that time, he's tried to overthrow the kingdom of God. Now y'all done got quiet. Now I done went on the area. I already gave him a disclaimer. Come on, wake back up again. Y'all done left me now. Don't leave me by myself. But I want you to know what they say. They say that I should have been this. And then they say, God made me. I was born like this. Here's the argument. Let the church say, in God's
original
design. Now watch this. In God's original design, when he shaped and molded you and me, I discovered some things, my brothers and sisters. God didn't make no mistake. God didn't make no flaw. Because he didn't just design you on his own, because the Bible said that he called together the council. He called Jesus. He called the Holy Spirit. And he said, because we're finna make a prototype, come on. Before we start manufacturing and sending these prototypes out on the assembly line, he says, let us make man. And we're gonna make him in our own image and after our likeness. If God wanted you to be that, he would have made you that in his original. In his original design. Now the devil wants to pervert God's design. He wants you to feel what you feel and think what you think, but then he wants you to get God to endorse it. And God said, everything that he made, it was good and very good. Dr. Barbara, I found out where they got off track. I searched it and I looked it up and I found out why they got off track. Because in the initial, before God did the separating, y'all can check me on this. You can do some fact checking on this. I'm not afraid of you fact checking me. Because I've already studied this. Check this out. In the initial, the Bible said God made he him.
Him.
And then it turns around and say God made he them.
Them.
Male and female. Amen? Now whether you know it or not, if you check your Bible, you will discover that the female portion was housed inside of men.
That's right. That's right.
Male and female was housed in male.
That's right.
Made him, made he them. But here's the deal. When God got ready, because he didn't want to see man lonely, he took a separate body. I'm going to preach to myself. And he took and reached in the rib and everything that was associated with the female. He took it out of the male and put it in its own body. And any good surgeon, if you go in and take something out, they got to close you up. Come on, somebody. It was all put in his own body. I knew I was going to get some controversy. That's why I gave a disclaimer. Some of y'all sitting with your lip all out. Come on, put your lip up. Come on. Look at your neighbors in there. Put your lip up. Come on. I'm going up. Maybe I'm about 5 minutes away. Come on. But watch this. All of that was put in her.
Yes.
Y'all don't believe me, I'm going to show you. All of it was put in her. It was in her. It was in him, but they took it out of him and put it in her.
Yes, sir.
And then the Bible said, you shall be called a woman.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know how many of y'all have thought about this.
Come on.
Woe man. Woe man. And brothers, y'all think that sometimes your wife or your girlfriend or your woman, you think they just being hateful. You think they can't help, but they can help you. You're going to get yourself in trouble. And I'm going to be on the highway. A man smiling right now. I'm going to keep that smile on my face. Thank you, baby. Watch this. Now, sometimes, brothers, when we get too far out the way, and we go off script, and we get way out there, sometimes that woman have to look at you and say, hey, whoa, man. Come on back here. I don't know where you think you're going. Come on back here. I haven't been with you 20 years, and you gonna run over there to that little old so-and-so? Come on back here. Can I get a witness? Sometimes the woman has to say, whoa, man. But the transformation, my brothers and sisters, that I want to drop on you tonight is the fact that not only is she called a woman, but she's also called a female. That church say female. She's also called a female. She's the byproduct of the male, but God has put some femininity. Woo. Y'all making me sweat up here. God has put some femininity because I want you to know I don't want no dude-looking woman. Come on. I'm sorry. Everybody got their preference. I don't want to wake up in the morning and
I got to shave. She got to shave.
Wipe my eyes. And I turn over there. And I look and say, hey, what's up, man? I'm sorry. I don't want that. But what I want you to get, and I want y'all to take this home with you and muddle over it. Because when we talk about transformation, you got to go back. And you know when I got to the juncture of therefore, I'm trying to help you understand what you ought to be there for.
Amen.
Look. The female is called the female because the female is the part of the male that produces the fetus. Now, if T.D. James had been teaching this man, y'all would have been all over the floor. The female is the part of the male that produces the fetus. unless you got some type of medical problem that inhibits you from producing, if you can't produce a fetus, I don't care how many times you bend your wrist, I don't care how many times you talk all sweet, I don't care what you go through the classes, come on, do all of the changes. I want you to know that if you can't produce a fetus, you ain't no fetus. But the transformation that the devil wants, he wants there to be no religion. He wants you to be different and become something that God did not originally design you to be. And he wants you to say, well, you know, I've always felt these. Even heterosexuals, they have different connotations. They have different things that they struggle with. They have different temptations that they struggle with. But here is the problem. The problem, because I know some people of that persuasion, and they all say the same thing. They all say, well, you know, y'all are hypocrites. And y'all, you know, because, you know, you say you love God and God is love, but don't you get it twisted. Let the church say, don't get it twisted. Don't you get it twisted. God is love, but guess what? God is also judgment. God is also wrath. And the problem is not so much the sin issue, because all sin is transgression of the law of God. It doesn't matter whether you have another persuasion. Y'all notice I never said the word. Y'all, I don't care if you of another persuasion. I don't care if you hetero. I don't care what you are. Sin is sin, and God does not like sin. But the problem is that there's some things that go beyond sin. That's why God says, because it's so foul. Because it's so abnormal to my original design. He said, I've got to turn you over. I've got to give up on you. To let you work that thing that's unseemly. Because it is an abomination. And now if you speak out against it, boy, folk gonna eat you up. They'll talk about you and eat you up. Criticize you. Now, we got to love the people. But I'm just trying to inform you tonight to get you to understand that there's two types of transformations that's going on. And you got to understand the difference. Because the Bible said, be not conformed to this world. Now, I asked all of you all, and I promise I'm through. I've asked all of you all, how many of you all believe in a transformation? But what I want you to know before you investigate and before you migrate toward your transformation, you got to know that there will never, let's try to say never. There will never be any spiritual transformation if there's not a denunciation of conformity. All of those millennials that I've told you that are marching, all of those that now are fueling this new movement of no religion, I want you to know that they have conformed to the ideologies of this world. And so, as the church, we got work to do.
Amen.
We got to, first of all, understand what we're here for. We're not here to try to impress nobody. We're not here to try to make our mark in the world. But my brothers and sisters, I stopped by to tell you, we're here to worship the Lord, and the way we worship, we got to first of all be saved. You got to know that you are saved. Can I get a witness? The Bible said, my brothers and sisters, 2 Timothy 2:15, study. I wish I had a witness.
show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed. But I want you to know why people miss it in that scripture. They think it's talking about studying the Bible. It's talking about studying the Bible, but not on the front end. If you listen to the scripture, it says study. Lord, I ain't got no help in that. Whoa! It says study to show yourself approved unto God. But Paul was telling Timothy, son, before you go out and pick up your Bible and try to preach to somebody, before you go out and try to tell somebody what thus say the Lord, you got to first make sure that you believe everything you're preaching. You got to first, I wish I had a witness, you got to believe in what the Bible says for yourself. Can I get a witness? And then you turn your life around and you start living what the words say. We become a workman. And as a workman, when you divide the word, we ain't got nothing to be ashamed about. I wish I had a witness in here. I come back to let you know I've been in the Most House on Thanksgiving. I've seen a turkey on the table. There's a difference in a well-carved turkey. Can I get a witness? Anybody here, have you seen a good carved turkey before? Have anybody here seen a good carved turkey? There's a difference in calling it right than digging it out and butchering the turkey. We need to buy the word. We got nothing to be ashamed about. Somebody may tell you it don't take all of that. Oh Lord, you don't know what I've been through. You don't know all the changes I've been through in my life. It don't only take all of that and take everything I got. Every day I want to walk like Jesus. I ain't got no help in here.
You just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.